Hello, and welcome to Team White. Today, it's Jan and I, Jan in South Africa, and I am in the NEMO, Northeast Missouri, center of the U.S., where it's an absolutely beautiful day, sun shining in upper 50s, as good as you could want for December. Now, today, on today's Team White, we're going to talk about Trump and status of his attempt to get the election prosecuted fairly. And then we're going to mostly, for most of it, we're going to talk about MAP South Africa. So I will begin talking about Trump. What can we say at this point? Trump has had his appeals in various states rejected by the courts of those jurisdictions. And I guess it comes down to mainly Texas and a bunch of other states have signed on. I'm not completely clear on it. The point is, he basically has one shot, and I thought it would be resolved by now. We had talked on earlier Team Whites about this when we had Allison Chablow along. It's still not resolved. He's got basically one more big challenge. Maybe the Supreme Court will hear that other states have signed on. And as I've said, the sum up and the takeaway for white people is Trump legitimately won this election, but Trump is anti-white, a complete and utter total tool of the Jews. So that's why we don't worry overly about what happens, because one way or another, the anti-white agenda is going to be pushed by the president. But in the interest of simple, honest legality, it would be nice to see Trump come through and have his day in court. I personally believe that he won the election if you only counted legitimate votes. I believe the election was stolen from him. And there has been an awful lot of proof adduced to that point. I've not followed it beyond the headlines and just scanning it because I don't care. I know how the left is. They lie about absolutely everything. They've been attacking Trump for 4 years. There's no reason in the world, logical or otherwise, to think they would stop themselves short of stealing an election. They don't care. They love power. Look how often they use power as an adjective. Oh, it's so powerful. You hear that over and over. They're very much about power, and they don't care how it's acquired. They just want as much as they can grab and prosecute their usual anti-white agenda. So that's the big story from the U.S. Trump, it still hasn't quite come to a head, but it will very, very soon. And it has to do with the states and the electors and the appeal going up maybe to the Supreme Court. And meanwhile, on the West Coast, Antifa is back at its old annex and has tried to set up another autonomous zone. The first was in Seattle. This one is in Portland. I haven't yet researched or seen what Andy Ngo, the Asian queer who covers this daily, has said about it. But yesterday there was quite a bit going on. They had a few streets in somewhere in Portland, which is where most of these nuts are from. It's the epicenter, the main locus of all the crazy Antifa stuff, although they do have them all over the country, or all over at least 80% of the country. So that's another story we're watching. Meanwhile, as part of the Trump thing, YouTube recently basically said it's not going to allow any material that casts any doubt on the legacy of the election. The media have simply closed like a wave. The waves close over the wake of a boat. And said, nope, the election is over. It's decided. It was won legitimately by Biden, and no one is allowed to doubt that. And anyone who tries to doubt that will have their material removed and be kicked off our platform. So that's how it is in the USA. Now, Jan, how do you, any questions about that from the perspective of South Africa or?
Absolutely. Alex, I saw that Donald Trump at some point spoke about America not having free speech but having suppression of speech or something along those lines. And I thought that's a pretty bad thing to hear out of the mouth of a president of any country, although it's the truth.
Yeah.
Although it's the absolute truth.
Oh, so, yeah.
So you say that YouTube is putting a ban on anything that doubts the election?
YouTube, and this is the, I'm trying to provide some news, and this is the new thing that's happened in the last couple of days on YouTube. Of course, they are already widely censoring people, but now they basically just said, no, anyone who tries to dispute the presidential election, we're not going to allow that material to stay up.
Wow.
So yeah, and then, I mean, yeah, there's deplatforming and suppression when the president himself is hardly allowed to get a tweet out without them either hiding it or, you know, putting some kind of, actually other people disagree with this kind of garbage on top of it. Yeah, there's absolutely suppression. So there's been some right wing move to what's to Parler, which is your typical conservative site where, you know, you're allowed to love Jews and hate Muslims and that typical boomer type bilge. There's been movement over there. There's speculation if Trump leaves office, he will try to set up his own sort of Fox News channel. Now that Fox has declined to the point because it's so leftist, just like CNN, it's declined to the point where even some of this One America News Network and Newsmax are starting to even eclipse it in the ratings.
Wow.
So basically any right-wing voices are being completely out of the media sphere and onto alternative platforms. And even these alternative ones aren't true alternatives. They're all Jew positive. They're all Jew bilge still, whether they're right-wing or they're mainstream, as they call it. And we are the only true ones. And of course we are rejected by the right-wing. The Jews / right wing, we are by the Jews / mainstream or left wing. So it's this, the same old garbage it always is.
Well, Alex,
nothing really ever changes.
Well, Alex, another question for you. Do you, in your opinion, believe that Trump won by a landslide? Or do you think it was closer?
I can't answer that. I'm not sure. Vox Day would be the main one claiming that Trump actually won by a landslide. I simply don't know enough. You'd have to have a more of a technical background and follow it more closely. I would be slightly surprised, but not hugely surprised if that were the case. I think the country is split because so many people work for the government or are dependent on it that even if they like Trump, they would still vote for their own income. So I tend to think it was probably fairly close, but Trump won. But it's certainly possible it could have been a landslide.
Okay.
And, you know, these people rigged the software to try to distribute and hide what they're doing. I have no doubt he won. Now, the size of his win, I truly don't know or truly have an opinion. I watch the people who claimed it was going to be a landslide, like Fox Day, and I pay attention to what they say, and he is the most prominent person, Ted Beal, known as Vox Day, and his blog. He is the most prominent person who claims still that Trump is going to come through all this and win. And across the Rubicon, he keeps saying like he's really, oh yeah, and that's why they're moving troops around and bringing them home to actually.
Nah.
I mean, if you believe that, I think you're insane. Trump is going to just, like I said, did I say it on Team White? I can't remember, but there was a big rally defending Trump and he simply drove through it on his way to play golf. So you tell me that person is going to stage a military defense of the system? I doubt it.
No,
I really doubt it. I think he'll leave and he'll hype himself up and create his own social media and then maybe try again in 2024. That wouldn't surprise me. But for him to get through the courts, I would be extremely surprised. For him to use the military to keep himself, I would be even 100 times more surprised. So I'd say there's a 1 in 100 chance he gets his victory through the courts and a 1 in 10,000 chance he uses the military. Just my read of his character.
Alex,
he could though.
I find
the important thing there is not my estimation is that he could. These people are willing to fight. They're absolutely willing to fight. And it takes physical fight at this point. Even the stupidest Christianist mongs, if told, would pick up a gun and go liberate D.C. That's what I keep talking about. We need a white liberation army.
Alex,
it's at that point. These people, they worship power. They love power. They're not giving it up.
Alex, I totally agree with you on all those points. Your points about Trump, the fact that all those people were there. They wanted to see him. He didn't even get out of his car. Golf is more important to him. These people are not real leaders. Yeah. These are not real leaders.
They're just their ego. They want to hear themselves talk and people clap for them. They know what people want to hear. They tell them it, but they don't do it. Who does he actually serve? Trump does more for literal black felony committing criminals in jail than he does for the whites who vote for him.
Yeah. Yeah. Sad.
Now that's pathetic, but more pathetic is that they keep voting for him and they're happy about it. And if you criticize him, they get angry at you. So at some point, these white people are sadomasochists. They like being beaten. They like being lied to. They like someone who just blows wind and then does the opposite. They don't mind. They tolerate it. Hell, they love it. They show up and wait for hours to hear this clown speak. And I'm not even mentioning what all he's done for Israel, which is incredible. So to me, the whole thing is just silly and goofy. And that's why I don't pay, I don't pay microscopic level attention to it, because it simply doesn't really matter that much. Until people are willing to fight and they're serious about what they say. I mean, when Hitler said something, he did what he said. He had a very deep understanding of what was going on in Germany and what was needed to fix it. And he said, I'm going to fix it. And he did fix it. And that is so far from anything we ever get in America. It's not even conceivable to white people today. Oh yeah, we tolerate stuff that should not be tolerated. We tolerate lying. We tolerate people stealing from us to subsidize the defective behavior of blacks or of white losers or just simply stealing the money and giving it to Israel. And we shouldn't tolerate any of this.
Alex, I'm talking.
And the idea we're going to get any kind of redress through the voting is to me ridiculous and was ridiculous 20 years ago.
Well, Alex, you said it all along. You said people are – you spoke about these vote fags, and I never forget that term of yours, the vote fags, people who think that voting is going to solve the problem. Already, even before the election, I mentioned in one of our shows quite a while back, I said that, Trump has proof that voting doesn't work. And now with this – it's even more proof that voting doesn't work, even in a first world country, even in a country where whites, for the time being, are still a majority even. Even if it's not a big majority, you are still losing control of your country, even though you're not the minority yet. It's very bad news, very bad. And
whites didn't vote for any of this crap that they don't like. It doesn't matter, though, because we've had Republicans running the whole government many times, but they don't ever do anything that's pro-white. All they do is serve big business and they serve Jews. And the rare times they might try something that's a little bit pro-white in effect, like 187 in California is the best example, where they're like, the people voted in California to cut off benefits to illegal aliens. What happened? Some Jew judge threw it out. So that's what it ends up being. The rare time you actually get when doing something that's good for the actual white taxpaying majority, it gets thrown out by the courts. So the courts and the media are in possession of our enemy, and the rare time we can obtain a result, they just reverse it in the courts.
Yeah.
Just like they just did it again on Trump on the DACA stuff. I mean, Biden's going to reverse the few little things Trump did right at the end. And he didn't ever care about any of that. He did a couple of things in the last 6 months. Like I said, he could have done them day one, like, oh, getting rid of, anti-white sensitivity training in the government. Critical race theory in the government training. Well, why is he doing that 2 months before the election? It's just to sop to whites. And the courts are going to disallow it anyway, even if he gets a second term, and Biden will reverse it if he gets in there. Well, he could have done that stuff on day one if he were serious about it. No, the whites are so easily bought off by a little air. They don't ask for any kind of proof through behavior over time. So, they suffer. They pay. Everybody else has a party and the whites pay for it. And instead of any kind of gratitude, you just get abuse in the media, continual and ongoing abuse. So
Very sad, Alex. Very sad. I like the discussion about the White Liberation Army. Alex, I do agree with you that large numbers of whites in most countries, if they were given a serious order to do something, there are many, many people who would do things. They believe in the system to a certain degree, and they are just waiting for the leadership. But one thing I want to say that I was mentioning to people here in South Africa today was I was talking to a group of people via a certain social media, and I said to these locals who are my supporters, I said to them, we whites suffer from three problems. Problem number one, lack of unity. Problem number two, lack of confidence in ourselves. And number three, we have a total lack of desire to really fight to win. We lack a raw determination to win at all costs. We just don't have that. And if you're not willing to fight to win, tooth and nail, you're not going to go anywhere. And there's a quote from Hitler where Hitler said, he was speaking about his generals, and he said, I don't need knights, I need revolutionaries. And yeah, so.
Yeah, he got to get away from the bourgeois careerists. And that's still Germany produces a lot of that kind of people. There's loads of them in the USA, you know, the northern bourgeois. They're good in the order and the management, and they're morally regular, but they're also tend to be snobbish, arrogant, and unread, uncultured type people. And you need someone who's more fanatical and devoted, and I don't hesitate to say idealistic. But I know the Americans, absolutely, if they had the leadership, they will fight. But I'm saying it's a technical martial matter at this point, because there simply isn't anything you can do to fight a media that's 100% one way. And it's not just that the mainstream is all one way. They're actively preventing anyone else from getting a word out, not just on their sites, but they're colluding to prevent anyone else from setting up a platform.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so that's where the problem is. If there was a legal solution, that's where, hey, if you assholes don't want to let us, you know, write stuff on Facebook or Twitter, that's fine. But you can't all work together behind the scenes as this cabal that prevents anyone else from setting up a damn website. But effectively, they have to do that because they will lose. They will lose the ratings battle if they allow any competition. So it's these tyrants who are essentially cultists who are have to prevent anyone else from competing with them, or they will lose. So they dominate, they oppress, they suppress everybody else. And so far, we've just been putting up with it. Now, Trump could have done a heck of a lot good in that regard, but all he ever did, you know, they mock him for just, I'm monitoring the situation. Okay, well, you monitored yourself right out of office. Because yeah. they knew that his fans, they verified that his fans used their mainstream platforms, most notably Facebook, but also Twitter, to communicate with themselves and get him elected. They were so horrified by that. They've been working for 4 years to shut everything down to make absolutely sure he would not be reelected. And they're more than willing to cheat by skewing the news coverage to hide the people stealing through the software and the fake ballots, and that's exactly what they've done.
Yeah.
And now they're not even allowing you to criticize what they've done on their own platform after they've done it. Just shut up and accept Biden as your president, even though, oh, he cheated. His people cheated and stole the election. Just shut up. You're not allowed to say that he cheated. That's where it is.
It's terrible, terrible, Alex. Alex, another question for you. What do you make of this Sidney Powell woman who had been an attorney for Trump, and then she was kind of kicked out and she's doing her own stuff, and she was going to be the Kraken and she was going to launch all these lawsuits, and she seems to be quite a flop as well.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that when you lead with your mouth the way she did, I think that's pretty foolish. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this other thing. And then, you know, boom, most of it got thrown out by the court. I don't follow it closely enough to know if she's involved in the Texas thing that I think is the one last big effort in one state that a bunch of other states have signed on to, I think including my own Missouri, and see if they can get – so far, they have not had anybody approve, like, hey, this was stolen. We need to recount or whatever. It hasn't worked. And that's what I'm saying. These courts are simply – too leftist. See, it's not just the media. The left controls the courts the same way they do the media. And so the judges know they're going to be backed if they push leftism over the law by their brothers in the media. So effectively, all these right-wing people who want to, per their Christian training, trust authority, respect authority, follow authority, give obeisance to authority, well, there you go. When the left becomes the authority, these people don't know what to do because they've never had any internal ability to generate criteria and follow them or think independently. So now they're screwed. Okay, trust authority. Okay, the judge just threw out Trump's very legal claims. So screw the law. I'm going to do the leftist thing. What do you do then?
So Alex,
and they love, oh, we're a rule of law. We're a government of laws, not men. No, we're always a government of men, not laws. Men sometimes follow the law, but often they don't. Paper is no protection against anything.
Absolutely. So, Alex, is Texas and other states, are they launching what, like a state-level lawsuit?
Well, yeah. I'm the wrong person to ask because I don't really even care about this very much. But to the extent I followed it, what you have is a situation where there's a number of swing states where the election is actually decided, because in the other states, it's very clearly one way or another, like California. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. I understand.
There's no doubt, like, say 40 to 45 of the states, there's zero doubt about which way it's going to vote.
Okay.
So the election comes down to maybe five swing states, like Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, stuff like that. And so after the election, which is very dubious, Trump's ahead into the night, then everything shuts down. Then they come back a few hours later. Oh, Biden actually won the election. Yeah. So they faked it during that time. That's what actually happened, I believe. And so to reverse the result, Trump has to appeal in these states where he believes he won and he believes they stole it. And like I said, that's Georgia. I'm not sure if it was Texas or not. Georgia, Texas, Pennsylvania, Michigan. And he's already had it rejected. I think it was rejected in Michigan and Georgia, but there's still one more major state where they have to, Supreme Court lawsuit from Texas and Trump challenging. So other states have signed on maybe where they feel there was voter fraud. This woman was affiliated with him in some way, or she has some kind of prosecutorial background, Powell, and she assembled a lot of the information very quickly to prove that there was – because I guess they're using the same software and the same techniques in these. So it's a handful of states, and you have to establish the technical means by which they cheated to steal the election, and then you have to file that in the state courts. Now, at least two state courts have rejected these appeals. So then what do? You appeal to the Supreme Court. You try yet another state. I guess Texas is the last state, and from there maybe it will go to the Supreme Court. And so, of course, the media are doing their usual gaslighting and reality inversion and saying what Trump is doing is an attempted coup. When it was them, this is their second coup. They tried to impeach him with a Russian bullshit for 4 years, when in fact they were the ones who were dealing with Russia and Ukraine, as we know from Hunter Biden, which they suppressed that story. And then now they're trying to claim that Biden won and Trump simply asking for a recount and an honest count is the one attempting a coup. So it's just business as usual. But anyway, for people to understand, yeah. So it's down to eventually they think it will all be brought together in one appeal to the Supreme Court, and they don't even have to address it. Of course, they can just say no, we're not going to deal with that, and kick it back to the state. And then at that point, either Trump goes military or he goes to Mar-a-Lago back home. which you, is far likelier.
The latter.
And what's so irritating, the reason you hear continual irritation in my voice, I'm talking about things that don't even truly matter, because even if Trump is in there, he's still not pro-white. So all these, Trump's not any better. Yeah, he might be slightly better than Biden. He won't push something, but look what he did in his first term. He called James Alex Fields a murderer before he'd even been on trial. He did more to help Israel by far than Barack Obama did. Obscene stuff to aid Israel. So how can you care overly? I care merely as a matter of technical honesty that I believe from the evidence I've seen, not because I like Trump, I dislike Trump, that he won the election if you only counted legitimate votes. I believe absolutely that Biden stole the election by using a queered software that allows him to rig it, and also fake ballots from the write-in stuff that they could use COVID as a pretext. Like, I got a mail-in ballot. I never requested one. I did actually register as a voter. I didn't vote. I registered, and the funny thing was I immediately got called for jury duty, like within weeks of doing it. I just had an idea I might do something in a local thing, but it was the only reason I registered. But, of course, the only effect of registering is to get yourself on jury duty, which I don't mind. I would do that. I think that has more significance than voting. So I didn't vote, and then that was immediately before all the COVID garbage popped up. So I never ended up, I don't know how they're dealing with jury duty or court stuff nowadays with the COVID restrictions. So we have a mask thing in place. But anyway, the point is, as a technical matter, I do believe Trump won. How did they steal it? They stole it via software and by, falsifying mail-in ballots, which are never, they were basically always only for veterans and maybe a few feeble old people. Well, so they greatly expanded that tool because they could use that to steal votes. They have their own people. If you trace back the software involved, it goes back to various Democrats and owned by the top crooks, and they know how to tweak it. And people have illustrated all this in videos, what they did and how they try to cover their tracks. I believe what those people are saying, but again, I don't overly care other than I'd like to see an honest count. But so then once it's stolen and the media covers the steal, all you can do is appeal through the courts, or you can summon people to Washington to liberate it with guns. Now, through the courts, he's been rejected by, say, maybe two or three of the five states in question, and then it's all appears to be coming down, I think, to one state, Texas. From there, somehow it would go to the Supreme Court, I guess. I don't fully understand that part technically, but that's the gist of it.
Okay.
And then if he's rejected by the Supreme Court or he's rejected by Texas, as he was by, like, Georgia and by Michigan at least, then at that point, either you accept it or you fight it physically. And we should be at that point very soon. By the time of our next Team White, that should be decided within the next 10 days, I believe.
Well, I must say I don't have much hope for Trump. You know, his entire plan B was the courts, and, you know, he didn't have a plan C or a plan D, and his whole court thing is falling apart. So whether Texas and these other states can pull through, I don't know. Because when I looked at the other stuff, Alex, it didn't. You know, it's like you say. You know, it's not like there's this burning will to win. You know, this real desire, fanatical desire to win. You know, people are hoping and praying, and normally that is just a sign of uselessness.
We're in the bourgeois mode. It's still just entertainment to people. But when you have people, example of a local shop that I frequent a lot, they're getting rid of more than half their employees. And with a mask mandate and business dropping, I mean, these small, lower middle class whites are getting destroyed economically. We had another news come out that things are even worse than people thought, like 82% of the people are responding to some poll. Now, of course, you can't trust polls, but yeah, it can't be that far wrong. They can't raise like $500 for an emergency. So And I also read supposedly another 8 million people are in poverty now after this garbage, and we're still going through it. And we've had the government forcibly preventing landlords from throwing people out for not paying their rent. We've had one stimulus paid out to people. I mean, economically, they are absolutely destroying the middle class and the lower middle class, the working class it used to be called. These are the basic white people who aren't living off the government are being destroyed by the government.
Now, Alex.
And it's almost, it really is like they're trying to turn humans into cattle with things in their ears who are fed at certain times. And the era of free people running their own lives is drawing to a close. If I had to take an objective look at it, eagle's eye look at it, is sure what it looks like to me. Because the technical means for complete totalitarian control are there and getting even better.
That is horrific, Alex.
But yeah, the COVID is just eviscerating the economy.
Now, Alex, should...
I've got a little I can... Sorry. Jan, let me read just a little from a report. This is CNN. Okay. This will clarify slightly. Of course, CNN is communist liars, but and a lot of fags too. President Donald Trump asked the Supreme Court on Wednesday to block millions of votes from four battleground states that voted for president. Okay, you can tell how tendentious that is, how absolutely loaded and biased that news sentence is. So he didn't ask them. He asked them to vote. They're like, oh, he wants to block these legitimate votes because their big slogan is well, if they're stuffing the ballot box and tweaking it with software, you know, it's their typical hypocritical bullshit. He doesn't want illegal votes to count. Of course, they know that. They're right at the, but anyway, that's the point. He's saying, look, these guys stole this election in these places and I want this, he's suing in these courts to get it, to get a recount. Trump's request came in a filing with the court asking to intervene in a lawsuit brought by Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton seeking to invalidate millions of votes cast in Georgia, Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. Again, these are the handful of states where the election at the national level is decided. And, you know, somehow through the law, I don't understand how Texas can sue over votes in other states. But anyway, the point is it's all going to the top of the system. Ultimately, someone in the Supreme Court is going to either decide to address it or they're going to kick it back to the states. And at that point, it's lost because it's already been rejected by a couple of the state Supreme Courts. So that's where it is. It's what I said.
That's sad.
Now, and see the way it is, we have an electoral democracy where, okay, people vote, but then it's got to go to like the state congresses and then the electors are awarded. It's kind of goofy. It's just not a direct, they always call it a democracy, but it's not truly a direct democracy. It's an electoral college after a democratic vote. So anyway, this is all technical stuff. The only thing that matters is the essence of it in my view. I am not a political junkie. I am not into the techniques of democracy or any of that because I don't think most of it really matters. What matters is, you know, what's good for whites and who actually run the country, not the techniques of how they do it. Because when you get into the techniques of how they do it, there's always the belief that, oh, if we just manipulate this correctly, it will work for us. But that's not the truth. And we're seeing that at least fulfilled as Trump tries to obtain legal redress by using the laws and they love to intone that the right wing blowhard bourgeois. Oh, well, let's trust the process and let's use the established. Yeah, that sounds great. And when you're dealing with nickel and dime shit, it can work. But when you're dealing with shit where there's blood involved, there's the very future of the country, and there's a racial battle going on, all of a sudden that stuff falls by the wayside, and whoever has the actual power ends up winning. And that's exactly what's going on. They're saying, fuck you. Yeah, we know you won it, and we know we stole it. We won't admit that in the media, but fuck you. We aren't tolerating you. Get out of here, orange man. We're running things. You know, and that's the reality of it.
Well, Alex,
and they got all the courts and all the media on their side so they can get away with it until they're shot, until they are literally shot They will keep getting away with it.
Alex, you're dead on the money. And the other thing, Alex, is it doesn't matter what system you have, doesn't matter what rules you have. If the system is corrupted and infiltrated and subverted, any system can be subverted. And clearly they've got to the point where they've subverted your system. And now it's not your system anymore. You know, they've put all the people in the right places, and they've figured out how to bypass the rules. And the people, basically the people that you trust are the people manipulating and breaking the rules. So what can you do now? Now you're screwed. You're screwed. Now the system is not yours.
Well, it's a revolution within a form. They kept a lot of the external form, but they changed the interpretation. And mostly they moved in. The Jews, we all know the story. I've recited it 100 times. Jews came into the country in large numbers after 1880. They set up shop in New York. They took over the stage. They would later come to dominate the electronic age. They didn't invent the technology, but they quickly saw how it could be used to create a sort of consensus national media and feeling and advertising and radio and television. And they moved their own kind into academia and spread them out over the country. They created new schools of sociology, new schools of anthropology that were perverse and anti-white and anti-factual. And they spread through all the academy. They bought up the newspapers. They bought up the New York Times. That didn't used to be owned by Jews, but it has been for over 100 years. They bought up the Washington Post. So they came to dominate the top newspapers. They dominated from the start. They created Hollywood themselves. They dominated television from the start. They dominated radio pretty much from the start. And so at this point, we're 100+ years into this. There's nothing substantial or large scale they don't control. And when they all promote the same message, and you've got the feds involved as well in the public, who are kind of like the mini-me idiots who go to teacher's college and major in education, and they learn the garbage the Jews want to have fed to the young white goyim, then you have a pretty much of a comprehensive control system of the government, the education, and the media are all promoting the same thing. And now, and then in recent 20, 30 years, you've had all of the largest Fortune 500 corporations have been brought in, not only under the federal heel of relation, but the people at the very top now all believe that leftist crap. The Silicon Valley, as tech has come to dominate the economy, all those people in California believe this leftist crap. And the legacy, the older companies have been bought out or at least coordinated and forced to go along with the message, and partly by law and partly by, you know, carrot of praise and stuff to support diversity and all the anti and all the pro sexual perversion stuff. So every major force in society is pushing the same way, and increasingly the granularity of the technical control afforded by the new technology is such that you can't even withdraw from the system. You used to be able to move away from the problem in the 1800s. You could, once you saw the smoke from your neighbor's chimney, they were too close and you'd keep moving out westward on the frontier. Well, now it's very hard to get away from the system anywhere. You can still kind of move out into the desolate areas, but to the extent, you know, how are you going to get money? Land's not cheap anywhere nowadays, really, in the U.S. because they've let in so many people. You need the internet to do anything, and the phone system. Well, then you're tracked by GPS and in other ways. It's very hard to escape a Skynet level of control at this point. Yeah. And this is the eagle eye view of what's going on that I prefer, I think is most significant, far more than the techniques of the people get into the, oh, blah, 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 they did it. You know, who cares about that? The important thing is basically understanding, they stole the election. Now, if you want to get into the techniques of how they stole it, good, have fun. There's millions of videos out there and experts, and I'm sure they're right, but who cares? Once you understand why they would do that, what kind of people they are, what their agenda is. That's the important stuff to understand that we focus on at Team White.
Okay. Alex, one comment on something that you've mentioned regarding all these middle class and lower middle class, working class whites who are losing their jobs. Surely there is going to be a lot of anger and frustration and desperation coming out of people who until now were willing to just let things
be. Yeah. Yeah, Jan, here, look at it like this. That's exactly right, in theory at least. But in Germany, you're coming out when people are truly desperate. Remember, Germany was stockaded, was embargoed after the war. People were starving. When people are starving and the women are turning to prostitution, like in Venezuela, that's when you're desperate. Americans, maybe angry as they may be, are still obese. Quite literally, most of them are obese, and they all got TV and they all got cell phones, and they'll scrape by. So they're not. Are they truly revolutionary? No. The revolution we're seeing is coming from public school teachers called Antifa, communists. Whacked out, crazed leftists. But yeah, the worse and worse, the longer this goes on, the worse it will be. And eventually it may become into a revolutionary situation. But right now they're still fat. They got to get slimmed up. They got to get angrier. They got to get a lot harder and tougher before they're ready for some kind of revolution.
Well said. Well, the whites in South Africa, quite a bunch of them have been slimming up. But you're right. It changes. There's going to be hardship. And only hardship and biting hardship is going to make people crazy. If life is too easy, if you can still hide away, then nobody's going to do anything. But yeah. Well, it's sad to see people having hardship, but even here in South Africa, I've said constantly, worse is better. Go over the cliff. Let's head into the abyss. It's the only way. There's nothing else. All this other stuff is just time, is just delaying it, and we're just all growing older and nothing's being done. So we might as well go over the cliff.
Yep.
So, yeah. Final comment about things that you were mentioning. You mentioned Antifa and the autonomous zones in Portland. Very interesting. I've not had a chance. I've not really made it a real effort to go and follow that. But that sounds very communist type. That is definitely communist revolution. It shows you they know what revolution is. It's amazing that they're even able to even try it in the USA. Amazing that they can even say, oh, we got an autonomous zone. It's a couple of blocks long. Insane. It's insane that it's even tolerated. Those people should be machine
guns. They were attacking cops in broad daylight. They're attacking cops in broad daylight yesterday in Portland is what Andy Ngo said. And I mean, right-wing people can't even defend themselves without getting thrown in jail for decades. And leftists are allowed to physically assault about damn near whoever they want. And no charges are filed. They arrest them and they let them right back out to do it again. We've talked about this before. That's how it was for 200 days in a row. And then it died down a little after the election, but now it's reheating again. And they absolutely are communist revolutionaries, and they're starting to get good at it because they've been doing it so long.
Well, if there was any reality and sanity, they'd be mowed down with machine guns and quickly put in their place. But let's hope that we get there in the years to come. Alex, what happened to Kyle Rittenhouse? Is it Kyle Rittenhouse, that guy who defended himself and who shot some of those leftists some months ago?
Yeah, Kyle Rittenhouse, I'm not sure what the latest on that is. He raised $2 million for bail, which is an absurdly high amount for what never should have been charged in the first place.
Poor guy.
And so I'm not sure if he is out or what, but maybe he's out, and there was something related to his lawyer, Lynn, who was in some financial problems, but it hasn't gone to trial yet. So I think he might have been out. There was some actor, Ricky Schroeder, who was in Silver Spoons a long time ago, a sitcom, who put him over the top to get the $2 million to get the bail. So I'm assuming he's out and in Wisconsin, and then he'll go to trial at some point. I think that's where it is, but I could be wrong.
Oh, wow. That's sad. A $2 million for bail. That's insane. But yeah, it can be understandable.
Yeah, an example of bias in the system.
Yeah, hey. I'm sure none of the blacks get bail for $2 million. Good God. Oh, that's sad. Well, Alex, maybe there are some other things we can touch on. Something else that I've come across before we hit into Africa is a German friend of mine was telling me that there's in the United States, you've got that guy, Mike King, who does the anti-New York Times, New York Times being Jewish, and he does his anti-New York Times. Well, a German was telling me that there's this guy, this German, sitting in Russia, and he's got a website called anti-spiegel.ru. And he's based, and Spiegel, Der Spiegel in Germany is also Jew owned, just like, New York Times. And anyway, this German is sitting in Russia and he's basically taking all that garbage that, all the Jewish garbage that's coming out of Der Spiegel and he's rewriting it and pumping it out on his website. His website's quite nice actually. And my German friend was saying this guy is basically sticking it to Der Spiegel, and he's doing it from outside Germany. So I assume he's kind of untouchable by German law. And so it sounds like there's a bit more waking up going on in Germany. And my friend is normally very negative about Germany. He normally says there's no hope, no hope, but this time he was quite positive about this website, and I had a look at it.
Well, that's good. Hey, you know, I did see one thing that was in Europe. Remember that white girl they tried to frame for – God, I can't think of the name. Amanda something. Amanda Knox? You know what I'm talking about?
That name rings a bell. That name rings.
Yeah. Okay. So there's American. Yeah. I just saw this
for a murder.
Actually,
this
is outrageous. Exactly. They tried to frame her, a white American girl, for the murder of a British student. So there's the British girl and American girl are studying abroad in Italy. The British girl is killed, and they tried as hard as they could to blame it on the white American girl, Amanda Knox, when it was actually a nigger named Rudy something or other who killed her. Well, they just let that fucking nigger out of jail after 12 years.
Wow.
And he was the one who murdered her.
Oh, that's...
That was in the news like literally like yesterday. So Amanda Knox got completely... The Italians are so completely Semitically correct. They tried to absolutely, absolutely frame her and bury her for the murder when it was very clearly this useless nigger who at every step of the way, he had basically was, I think... Oh, he's like one of those troubled youths adopted by some rich Italian family, had every possible benefit, and he was still a worthless African nigger. And he's now out of jail. 12 fucking years. She herself did like 2 or 3 years and had a monstrous time getting free of the system that was trying to frame her. Absolutely outrageous.
Well, Alex, on that... I've got a similar story for you. Do you remember quite a while back I mentioned that in Kulini there were two young Boers who were framed, who were accused of murdering a young black, and they said that the black had come into their fields or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I remember that story. Jan.
Okay, you remember that. Well, guess Jan. What? Yes?
Hold on. Let me just finish with the Knox thing real quick.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, so Amanda Knox is speaking out after the man convicted in the 2007 assault and rape of Knox's former roommate, a British exchange student, Meredith Kircher, was set free from prison. Rudy Guede, G-U-E-D-E. He's an African though. He's like a black African who was like hosted by an Italian family or adopted or something. Rudy Guda, forgive my pronunciation, 34, the only person still serving a sentence in Kircher's death. See, and even right there is biased, like there were other people involved, but he's the one who, the heroic nigger is the only one who gets jail. Like the system's biased against him is how that's written. God, I fucking despise journalists. Written by some cunt, two cunts, Mendoza and Hodgson via GMA. I don't even know what GMA is. I'm reading an ABC report. Anyway, this is very quick. Rudy Guda, the only person still serving a sentence in Kircher's death. Like, see how dishonest that is and says like, well, they let Amanda Knox go because, you know, pretty white girl syndrome. They let her go instead of making, she wasn't guilty. She didn't kill this person. He did. Was granted permission this month by an Italian court to finish the rest of his sentence with community service, i.e. they let the nigger loose 12 years after murdering this girl in cold blood. Let's see. So Amanda Knox, who is the framed white girl from the U.S., says, I do know that many, many, many people have suffered a great deal because of what he did. And I continue to stay, to be shocked that he is the forgotten killer. She said on an interview on Good Morning America, the one who was quietly tucked away, convicted of a lesser crime, and does not have to live with the burden of being forever associated with Meredith's death. So basically they're still trying to blame her for what this nigger actually did. Anyway, enough. So that just popped up for European news since we don't have Allison with us today. So now what are you saying about Kalini? I remember these blacks were doing stuff in the field and these two guys caught him.
Yes, and they caught them.
And he ended up dying.
Yes, they caught him. They were taking him to the police station, and then he apparently was thrown off the pickup truck or whatever, and they deliberately murdered him, etc. And if you recall, I mentioned to you at the time that they did an autopsy immediately, within a day or so. They did an autopsy, and they said that this guy was not beaten by the whites. He had clearly like fallen off the vehicle, broken his neck. He'd maybe jumped off the vehicle. So there was no physical evidence that anybody touched him. Okay. And those guys were found guilty, etc. Well, can you believe that I heard the other day that finally those guys managed to win an appeal, and finally those two white guys are free. Finally. But it's been like, what, 2-3 years?
Excellent.
A white man struggles. Kalini is a small town here in the middle of South Africa, and it's a place where there was a lot of violence against whites there, and there was a lot of attempts to create racial strife against the whites there. And this was just one of a number of incidents that took place. And so
we haven't heard about that in a couple of years. So what's been going on in the intervening 2 years, let's say, since we talked about this story at length? Have there been more incidents, or?
There haven't been more incidents, Alex, but the whites have been trying to basically keep the blacks quiet, because there's constant efforts to stir the blacks up there. And the whites have been playing a very careful game in the area where they kind of go and talk to the blacks and they try and calm them down, and they try peacefully to resolve everything. But it's the normal thing of, you know, whites have to kind of grovel and beg and argue nicely and speak very quietly and gently. That is the only way that people kind of get these people to be quiet. But the reality is that all over South Africa, they're constantly trying to stir up the blacks against the whites. So the whites have to play a very careful game, but they have been able to at least contain it so that there are no further big incidents. This is the last sort of remnant of the stress of that time. And, you know, those blacks who were in court, all those eyewitnesses, all of them lying through their teeth, it's taken them quite a while to be able to calm things down and to get justice finally. Those guys spent a long time in, you know, they've spent at least, I think, about 2 years in jail. But yeah, so at least a tiny bit of justice after a lot of injustice.
Yeah, after they lost years of their life.
Absolutely.
Which, you know, is a lot more than the time lost, the opportunity cost. They're totally jammed up. I mean, that stinks. So that's basically a farming area out there.
Yes, yes. It's mostly a farming area. Yes. So, yeah.
Okay.
Got some more news.
What else is going on in South Africa?
The other big story, Alex, that we've not really heard anything about was, do you recall about a year ago, almost a year exactly, I told you that there was this Christian guy called Harry Knussen, and that Harry Knussen is in charge of this sort of right-wing group, and that there are quite a lot of military people, apparently, very Christian people, in this group, and they call themselves, you're not going to like it, but this is what Christianity does. They call themselves the Crusaders. We're the Crusaders. And, you know, we're going to fight. We're going to fight like we did, you know, in the Middle East, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, so these Crusaders, I had been warned that the Crusaders were quite wild and that they were led by this Harry Knussen guy. Anyway, one day, almost exactly a year ago, maybe just a little bit more than a year ago, one day I got a video on my phone, and there was this guy, and he was in a military uniform, and he was speaking in Afrikaans, and he was attacking the rest of the right wing, and he was saying, well, all of you are paying for your right wing fees, etc., but none of the leaders do anything for you. Well, I'm going to do something, and it's time to go on the attack. And he said this in a video. And it was then that I learned that this guy's name is Harry Knussen. And I even tried to contact him to say to him, you know, calm down a little bit. You know, why are you saying that we must attack now? You know, do you know what you're doing? Is there any reason why? Anyway, the next thing I know is that this guy was actually serious, Alex. And he and a couple of people went, and they had actually gathered weapons, and he was serious about attacking. Now, I don't know exactly how he was caught, but there had been other leaders who'd been talking to him and telling him to chill. And I believe there was a spy from somebody very reliable that I know. He told me that there was a spy, and he named the spy, and I may even know who the spy is. And he said to me, this particular spy, a white guy, went to the top elite, elite by South African terms, elite police organization called the Hawks. And he went and told them, listen, this guy is actually about to carry out some kind of terrorism and attacks. And the next thing is the Hawks literally swooped down on Harry Knussen and some of his people and arrest about five of them. And they quickly nabbed him and some of his top people and threw them in jail. One of them was a woman who was an estate agent, and it didn't take them long to find illegal weapons and some, I think even some preparations for bombing. So we really did have some Christians who were actually going to commit actual violence. But it was, I think that Knussen was trying to do a Dylan Roof, where he hoped that if he did something, that everybody would suddenly all jump up and do it with him. And it didn't happen that way. He may have had some good ideas, but his execution was incorrect. He still doesn't fully understand the mechanisms. And the bottom line is he and a bunch of people, they talked about it, they got ready, and then the police swooped down on them, grabbed a whole lot of them, chucked them in jail. And he, from what I can understand, because it was very hard for me to get any news about him for months on end, all I found out was that by October, he'd been sitting in jail for maybe maybe 11 months, that he only appeared in court for the first time about 11 months after he'd been thrown in jail. What I did pick up, and that's what I'm going to read to you, is a short article where it seems two of the people have now gone through the court process and they've been sentenced. His trial is still on, and I don't see mention of the woman. At the time, I investigated the woman quite a bit because she was an estate agent, and one of the dangers of these things, Alex, is that a lot of these people, once the police swoop in and they grab people and they start throwing people in jail, then people start turning state witness. So now you get whites turning against their own buddies, which is really quite, which is really wrong, you know. So let me just read this little piece about what happened, what came out from two of the guys who've gone through their court process. So here it is. It says, two members of the Crusaders right-wing organization, Eric Donald Abrahams and Errol Abrahams, the one is 55 and the other one's 50. Now, this surname is a bit strange because Abrahams is not a normal white surname. So I'm wondering if these guys are even non-whites. Are they coloreds? Because these names are more often the kind of name that mixed race people would have. But anyway, it says Eric Donald Abrahams and Errol Abrahams were found guilty and convicted and sentenced on 8th December 2020 in the Middleburg Regional Court for contravention of Protection of Constitutional Democracy Against Terrorism and Related Matters Act when they prepared and planned to carry out terrorist acts on government institutions and the African population in South Africa on 28th November 2019. The two formed part of the Crusaders organization that planned and conspired to overthrow the democratically elected government of South Africa and replace it with a government led by the organization. This objective would be achieved by carrying out attacks on military and police installations, as well as on informal settlements, in other words, places where blacks live, squatter camps, basically, occupied by African persons. On 28 and 29 November 2019, the crimes against the state section of the Directorate for Priority Crime arrested the accused. They remained in custody until the finalization of the case, and here is the final stuff. This is what they were found guilty of. On 8 December 2020, they received the following sentences. Count 1, preparing and planning to carry out terrorist attacks, 15 years imprisonment, of which 7 years are suspended for 5 years. Count 2, financing of specified offense, terrorism, 5 years imprisonment. Count 3, unlawful possession of prohibited firearm, 5 years imprisonment. Count 4, unlawful possession of a firearm, 5 years imprisonment. Count 5, unlawful possession of ammunition, 5 years imprisonment. Count 6, unlawful possession of more than 200 cartridges, 5 years imprisonment. By the way, in South Africa, you're not allowed to have more than 200 bullets on you, or rather cartridges on you at any time. So 5 years jail sentence if you've got more than 200 rounds of ammunition. But in South Africa, because of the way our laws work, to make it easy for the blacks to not spend 200 years in jail, they make the sentences run at the same time concurrently. So it says effectively each accused will serve 8 years in prison. All other sentences will run concurrent with the sentence. The court has further ordered that both accused are unfit to possess firearms, ammunition, competency certificates, permits, etc. And then it says the case against the other accused, Harry Knussen, will continue on 1 February 2021 for High Court trial date after he pleaded not guilty. So it almost seems to me like only three people are actually going to end up in court. And so I wonder if the woman has turned state witness. I wonder if other people have turned state witness. So that is pretty much, it will be interesting to see what happens to poor Harry. But he will probably do long, long jail time. When they put the whites away, they're going to be away for a long time. So Harry Knussen. And they've been very quiet about this in the mass media in South Africa. This is the first time I've seen anything substantial. So, yeah. So, a couple more items, Alex. Quick ones. In the same elite police unit, the Hawks. You know, so this is the top elite in South Africa. And they discover that one of their very highest ranking guys, a black guy, he's been sentenced and found guilty of corruption. So he gained some financial benefits. So, you know, the elite are themselves corrupt. There you go. Another interesting point I came across was that the United States is withdrawing its military from Africa. And so this adds into that topic, which we really need to get back to, but maybe in another show. The topic of the Muslims in Africa, with America removing some of its troops from Africa, the quotes, Islamist terror is going to get worse and Africa is becoming more unstable. And
yeah,
so
they were killing people in one of those. What was the country where they're starting to, it was yet another new country where they're killing a bunch of people who aren't Muslim in Africa.
It was Mozambique, which is a former Portuguese colony on the east coast of southern Africa. Mozambique borders on South Africa, used to be the neighbor of Rhodesia. And so, yeah, amazingly, you got black Muslims. Oh, well, I might as well add in a little bit there, Alex. Those black Muslims in Mozambique, I think they beheaded something like 52 people or something.
Yeah.
But listen,
they're ISIS, aren't they? Or are they just some other Muslim brand?
I think I'm not sure if they're ISIS. Well, Alex,
hey, let me ask you: are there Muslims in South Africa?
Yes, there are. There are in South Africa. We've got about 1 million Muslims. Most of them are of Indian descent. But also get quite a lot of Muslims who are colored people. You also get a tiny handful of white Muslims as well. A tiny handful of them. I've only known about two people in my life, whites who ever were Muslims. And I only knew one guy who married into the Muslims.
Yeah, I'm wondering if these ISIS type Muslims would be able to spread into South Africa at all.
Alex, let me tell you the untold story of that quickly. After 9/11, when the Muslims were fighting everywhere, the Muslims in South Africa immediately started turning to standing up for Islam. And in about the first 3 or 4 years after 9/11, in South Africa, suddenly, in suburbs right next to and close to where I live, here in Johannesburg, like Fordsburg, etc., all of a sudden, out of the blue, Indians and other Muslims started disappearing, Alex. They disappeared. All of a sudden, their family would say, "He was here and he's disappeared and nobody knows where he is." And they've gone to the police and they've got attorneys and they're saying, "But my husband was here and he's disappeared. Nobody knows where he is." Well, Alex, this happened all of a sudden, and eventually the journalists and the mass media and the TV outlets eventually were able to reveal that these Muslims were last seen and they were on their way to a military airport in Pretoria, and there were aircraft that picked them up, and they were gone. And eventually the news came out that we had CIA, yes, CIA was functioning right here in Johannesburg, and they were hunting down Muslims, and the black government didn't stand in the way. The Americans came, they grabbed all the Muslims that they needed to grab, they chucked them on American planes, and they headed off to Guantanamo Bay. The CIA came and cleaned up Islam as a terrorist threat in South Africa 15 years ago, Alex. 15 years ago. They sorted them out left, right, and center. There's no Islamic stuff going on in South Africa. They put them in their place in about 3 years. It was so hush-hush. It was so freaking quick. I still wrote about it on my African Crisis website at the time.
Yeah, you know, now that you mentioned, I remember you mentioning that sometime before. I probably asked you that same question. But, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anything in America about that. But
Alex,
I guess a lot of ocean traffic maybe goes south of South Africa, I suppose.
Alex,
they don't want Muslims controlling that part of the world.
Alex, they nip the whole thing in the bud. We've got about 1 million Muslims, and they hate Israel. They hate Israel. And we've actually got a big BDS organization.
Well, that's good.
But when it came to terrorism and militant stuff, I think from the Middle East and everywhere, they were busy recruiting. They were recruiting in South Africa, and there were Muslims keen to go. CIA came, sorted them out quick. And I've still got screenshots from TV news stories of the time that I published on African Crisis. I'm probably the only person in South Africa who ever monitored and even realized what the hell was going on. And I've still got the screenshots from TV back then.
Okay.
So yeah.
Well,
so,
what do you think about Mozambique now? Do they have hope of taking over Mozambique?
Well, Alex, let me tell you the story. You're not going to believe what I'm about to tell you. So I don't know exactly how many black Muslims are operating in the north of Mozambique, but it doesn't seem like it's a big amount. However, they have been so successful. They've been beheading blacks. And can you believe, Alex, the Mozambican army, Mozambique is a country with 13 million people at least. It may even be more. It might be even 16 million. Can you believe that the government of Mozambique cannot defend itself against these Muslim terrorists, these black Muslim terrorists? And this is all across Africa. Alex, one of the untold stories of Africa is that the blacks, when the blacks wanted to fight the whites, the blacks used terrorism against us. And as I've said on many occasions, you know, the Rhodesians and the South Africans and the Portuguese were all saying, oh man, we didn't fight well against the terrorists. We could have done better. Well, guess what? What happens when you turn the tables on the blacks? Well, it turns out that the blacks cannot fight terrorism at all. At all. They cannot fight terrorism. So you got a handful of these terrorists, and the entire Mozambican army can't defeat them. Not only that, sit back in your chair, my friend. Do you know that 400,000 blacks have fled away from those terrorists? 400,000.
Wow.
So it shows you what a tiny, tiny army of radical Muslims can do. It's absolutely buggering the country up. And this is why I keep telling you, Alex, if whites just stand their ground, all kinds of things are possible. And if you look in other parts of Africa, you see the same pattern. Do you know the French? The French even sent helicopters and stuff and troops for a while into Mozambique to try and help the government of Mozambique. The French are fighting in Chad. You Americans were fighting in various countries up there, also Chad, etc. If it wasn't for France and for America, the Muslims would probably have conquered and occupied several African countries by now. Do you know that they hired mercenaries, many of them South African, white South African mercenaries, to go and protect Nigeria? Nigeria is a country of 200 million blacks. Alex, the Muslims could have conquered them. It's a tiny Muslim army of a few thousand could have conquered 200 million blacks. These are the kinds of things they don't tell you about. Africa is falling apart. And Trump, in withdrawing more troops from Africa, there aren't many here, but in withdrawing it, it's just letting the Muslims, you know, get even more out of hand. And you know what, Alex? I personally, I laugh at this, and I'll tell you why I laugh. Here were these arrogant blacks who used terrorism against whites for decades, and these arrogant blacks never thought that somebody else could do terrorism against them too. They never saw it coming that Muslims would be invading them from the Middle East. And now they're seeing their asses. And the scale of the disaster is astounding. The Muslims could, in theory, conquer most of Africa if they wanted to. Probably only South Africa and a handful of other countries like Angola might be able to survive a full-on Muslim invasion. But nobody will tell you that. No liberal, no Jew. But
well, the ISIS has been driven out of most of the Middle East, so they're probably saying, well, screw it. We can operate in Africa much more easily.
Absolutely.
Reminds me of Africa Audio, what you say about mercenaries.
Yes.
Africa Audio, the film made in the 60s, shows white mercenaries operating in Belgium and maybe other places. These black governments would employ white fighters to resist the Muslims.
Yes, that's the only real army that exists, you know. So here are all these black states with governments and armies and budgets. And when it comes to functionality, actually fighting, they're actually struggling their asses off. And me, I don't care.
No, their IQ's too low. Yeah, no doubt.
I feel nothing for them. But I've got to tell you my final story for you, Alex. My final story, also revenge from the time of Rhodesia, was I ran into another Zimbabwean, and I got talking to the Zimbabwean, and the Zimbabwean, I said to the Zimbabwean, so how are things in Zimbabwe now, with Zimbabwe being former Rhodesia where I come from? And so I said to the black, well, so how are things in Zimbabwe now? And the black said to me, never in my life, never in my entire life did I imagine I would leave Zimbabwe. But here I am in South Africa now. And the black went on to say how dreadful things are in Zimbabwe now, and that, you know, the lockdowns and COVID has only made it worse. The black government is more unpopular than it's ever been before. But the blacks, and this is something I predicted years ago. I predicted years ago in my book, Government by Deception, that the blacks would be unable to free themselves from their own black communist rulers. And that is totally and utterly true. So the blacks cannot say anything against the government because, and this also ties back to your election, etc. You know, Trump is too weak to use the military. In Africa, that's not a problem. The real purpose of the military is to kill civilians. So if the civilians say anything about the government, the army and the police will come and they'll beat them to a pulp, if not shoot them, and they will shut them the hell up. This apparently is the democracy this is the freedom that they wanted from white people. So now they have their freedom, and that's how their freedom actually works. Anyway, so this black went on to tell me that that unemployment is worse than it's ever been before. Almost nobody's got a job. I then asked the black, how many people do you think are left in the country? Because the population of Zimbabwe in recent times has been about 13 to 13 and a half million. In the time when I was a kid, decades ago, the population of the blacks in the country was 6 million. Well, I've suspected that half of the population has left. The black was confirming exactly that. Of his own accord, the black said the population of the country is about half, that half of the people have left. Most of them are in South Africa, as we know. But others, others have fled into other neighboring countries. So there's a diaspora in all the neighboring countries now. But here was the part that really made me laugh. Was this black said to me, so I said, what is the second most popular destination for these blacks from Zimbabwe when they want to leave the country? You know, South Africa is the most popular. What's the second most popular place? And the black said to me, you won't believe it, Britain. And I'm like, you're kidding me, like Britain? And the black said, yes, they get into Britain. So I said, how the hell do they get into Britain? And the black said to me, they bribe and they've got their methods, but they get into Britain. And I thought, well, you know, that is very good. Because years ago when Mugabe seized the farms in Zimbabwe, years ago, I read that something like 600,000 blacks at that point in time, we're talking 20 years ago, 600,000 black middle class left Zimbabwe to go to London. The blacks flee the country in a, on a larger scale than the whites. Anyway, so there is already a huge diaspora sitting in London. And now this black is telling me that 20 years later, blacks are still going to Britain. And, you know, given that Jewish Britain shafted the Germans, shafted the Rhodesians, etc., I'm saying, well, you know what? Britain gets its comeuppance. You know, when white rule ended in Rhodesia, Alex, do you know that the only whites who were allowed, I mean, we were a British colony, right? Technically, we were a British colony, and in the final years, we reverted to being a British colony for the final handover. Do you know that the only whites from Rhodesia that were allowed into Britain were those who could prove that they had British parents and grandparents? You had to have direct lineage back to Britain, otherwise you couldn't go there. So they did not want people like myself. My family that comes from South Africa, the British did not want whites from Rhodesia to go to Britain. So we had to come to South Africa. But the British let blacks who do not have black parentage, they let them go into Britain. And in some ways, I reckon, you know what, Britain, you get your comeuppance, kind of fuck you. This is the fuck you for the way that you behave towards the country where I come from. You wouldn't let whites into your country, but now you're getting blacks into your country, and they're continuing to break into your country. So there you go, the revenge of Rhodesia. But yeah, so a mess, eh? But and Alex, all of these things should show you these black nations that all said, oh, we want nationalism. And by the way, Alex, back in the 60s and 70s, they were saying that the non-whites want nationalism. The very thing that is now bad and evil for whites to have, they said it was good for the blacks. So you've got nationalism all across Africa. Blacks control more than 50 countries, and it's a total shambles, doesn't work. Millions of blacks themselves are fleeing from Africa, but you don't hear Jews and liberals talking about it. So there you have it.
No, it was always just anti-white. You know, I'm looking at a map of, from the Sun British paper, how ISIS still terrorizes half the world. So they have a lot of presence in Northern Africa on the Mediterranean and a little bit on the South and Western side, inside. But then They're not in the rest of the continent except in Mozambique, it looks like. So there's this detached element of ISIS way down there in Mozambique. But boy, they try to pop up wherever they can.
ISIS.
So I guess there's some oil. They're in the northern provinces mainly, and the oil is worth a whole bunch of money.
Alex, there is coal.
Is what it seems to be.
There are enormous coal deposits in the north. Enormous coal deposits. So yeah, they are there. And
well, I mean, are these ISIS people, are they locals, or are they people who came in from somewhere else?
Alex, from what I can gather,
that's my question.
From what I can gather, they are locals that have converted to Islam. So I think that let's call
okay,
it,
yeah, they I'm seeing a picture, and it looks like that. They look like black.
Yes.
They don't look like Arabs.
Yes. So these are blacks who've become Muslims. You get the same thing in Nigeria. You've got blacks who've become Muslims and they're busy killing Christians. So black Muslims and black Christians have been killing each other for years in Nigeria, in West Africa. So yeah, so all kinds of crazy nonsense in Africa. Total dysfunctional junk, eh? Absolute junk.
I guess that probably there are a bunch of these angry monkeys in Mozambique hear about ISIS and they sort of want to affiliate with it more than, I don't know how much they actually believe in all that stuff, but there's probably an element of just coolness factor and trendiness.
Alex, I think
combined with the age old savagery.
Alex, I think you're dead right. In the end, they're just in it for power and so forth, and they believe in it and now they want to do it.
Flag.
So yeah, for me, I look at the dysfunctionality of Africa and I say, hey, comeuppance for you. And you know, Alex, South Africa, the South African army is actually supposed to go into parts of Africa to go and fight these people. And the South African army has also had a whole bunch of people killed in attempting to fight these other black radicals. There are other black rebels who are not Muslims that the South African army has fought, and they've sometimes seen their asses, Alex. The South African army, I think, is supposed to go into Mozambique as part of like the African Union, but they are steering clear of some of this because they might get a little bit of a bloody nose. And me, I laugh at all this. I laugh at all this. I say, beautiful, beautiful. Mm-hmm. You were our enemies. Now you go and fight
okay,
for your
so,
yeah. So anyways, that's pretty much it, Alex.
Yeah, so this report I'm reading from like last summer says, so these ISIS types in Mozambique, government troops are taking up positions outside a port in the far north of Mozambique, which was captured by Islamic extremists last week in the latest escalation of the insurgency in the southern African country. And it's on the southeastern coast of extreme southern Africa. But anyway, the facility, which is close to the site of natural gas projects worth about $60 billion, fell on Tuesday when Marines who had resisted several hundred militants ran out of ammunition and were forced to withdraw. Okay, so they recaptured that. This is from months ago. But anyway, that's what was going on. So pretty wild. I guess like they like to seize oil fields in the Middle East. They would want to seize any kind of gas production or energy they could and derive some kind of money from it, I suppose.
Yes, but I don't think they ever were really able to actually get money out of it. But what they are able to do, from what I understand, is they're able to live among the blacks in the rural areas and small towns. And they do capture small towns and believe it or not, the army battles to like control them. And from what I understand, they're still there and, 400,000 blacks have fled from them. It's wonderful. It's dysfunctionality. It shows you the weakness of their states. Their states can collapse, Alex. Big, big, important lesson.
Yeah, they were certainly better run by whites, who at least kept a lid on things. But it makes me wonder if, man, Americans should get together a force and just go over there and create their own new country in Africa now. now that there's no more new continents to be discovered.
Alex, it's easier than you think, my friend. It's easier than you think.
Well, is Africa a worse continent for developing than North America?
Alex, Africa, in terms of once you get over the racial issue, the rest of it is easy peasy. We, as you yourself have noted, our climate is better. It's easier to function. There are a couple of places like South Africa and Namibia, which is like semi-desert, and South Africa, Namibia, Botswana, that's like semi-desert. All the rest of Southern Africa is lush. It's lush, good rainfall, fabulous place. Alex, when whites moved into Southern Africa, Central Africa, Eastern Africa, Western Africa, wherever whites set foot farming, they could farm up to their eyeballs. The Germans, more than 100 years ago, the Germans were farming in the luscious German East Africa.
I was going to say.
Yes.
I'm amazed that the more and more Germans didn't just pour in there because they love farming. That's their whole big thing.
Alex,
like in my ancestors, that's what they did. They were farmers.
Alex, in 1914, World War I, Germans in what is now the rat hole, the collapsed rat hole of Tanzania. Tanzania used to be Germany, East Africa. In 1914, Germans were farming 2 million acres in Tanzania. 2 million acres. Huh. Do you know that on in some of those – and, you know, then on top of that, you've got these great lakes in Africa. You've got Lake Malawi. You've got those other great lakes up in the north of Africa. Alex, I haven't compared the actual size of the Great Lakes of Africa with your Great Lakes, but it's not an unfair comparison. You know, Alex, the whites, the British, the Germans – had ships. They had freaking ships. They had naval battles. Naval battles raged among the whites on the Great Lakes of Africa in World War I. Nowadays, there are hardly any ships on there. The only things are remnants, rotten remnants of what was there a century ago. But, you know, these places, when whites moved to these places, they had infrastructure, they were functioning, etc., etc. You know, there are huge man-made lakes now, like Lake Kariba in Zimbabwe, Cabora Bassa in Mozambique, which was built by the Portuguese, until I think it was the biggest man-made lake in the world until the Chinese did a bigger one recently. But Cabora Bassa, probably the second biggest man-made lake in the world, is sitting in Mozambique, man. You know, as the
Portuguese, and now the Chinese are going to get all that.
Yeah. So you know, in Africa, wherever whites went, and most of Africa is lush. Most of Africa you can farm. You know, in Rhodesia, for example, Alex, in much of Southern Africa, you've got a wet season and a dry season. And the wet season is summer and the dry season is winter. Well, in Rhodesia, you would plant certain crops in the wet season, and then you would do wheat in the dry season, in the winter. So, you know, we were able to farm with animals, with man, Alex, in Africa, farming is a piece of cake. It's a piece of cake. It's nothing like your country. You've got the nasty weather. Look at Germany. Germany and Canada, very short summers, etc. That's not how it is in Africa, man. You can farm all year round.
You know what's kind of weird? You know what's weird, John? Africa lies straight south of Europe.
Yeah.
And you know, all these billions of Europeans all poured into America instead of just going down to Africa.
Now, the reason was that the north of Africa is all desert, and the places where whites actually settled the most in Africa was Southern Africa. And the problem with
it's not any farther just to sail down straight down from England. Straight down the coast, down to wherever it gets good. It's got to be shorter than sailing over to America.
Yes.
And also the land is covered with people who are equally incompetent. blacks and redskins in America are about the same level of savagery.
Well, actually, in that sense, what you're saying is, why didn't whites just pour into West Africa and just live in West Africa? The main thing
pouring into whatever Africa is settleable and growable, whatever is good, wherever the good land is. Why didn't they? It wasn't any farther than America, and it was arguably better land in a lot of ways.
The only reason that I've heard why whites didn't come en masse to Africa was that the diseases in Africa were so bad. The diseases were so dangerous, and there weren't similar dangerous diseases in America. And the diseases were the only reason that I know of.
So America would be similar to Europe in terms of like temperate zones, I guess.
Yes, yes. But disease was a problem 200 years ago. Disease isn't a problem now. And to control these diseases, whites had these diseases totally under control. So disease is no longer an issue. In fact, ironically, I was talking to an American recently, Alex, an American who was trained in biological warfare, a military guy. And that military guy was talking about how there are things that these days we regard as dangerous, but which weren't actually that bad. He was in Vietnam when they were using Agent Orange. And he said he had Agent Orange sprayed on him, and it never did anything bad for him. And he's 67, and he's still fine. Anyway, he was talking about DDT. Do you remember DDT? And DDT, when I was a kid, DDT was a very common chemical that we were using a lot spray, etc., and kill mosquitoes and what have you. And he was talking about DDT and how effective DDT was, and how DDT was absolutely killing literally everything that was dangerous. It was working fine, and nowadays they don't touch DDT because it's apparently so dangerous. But DDT literally cleared up everything. So you know, the technology.
Yeah, that's right. And he was saying millions of people died because of that. Of course, most of them were colored, so no great loss. But yeah, no, they quit because it was thinning the eggs of birds. But it was not dangerous. That's true.
Yes. So I, by the way, I jumped in and I said to him, nowadays they tell you how terribly dangerous asbestos is. Well, guess what? In Rhodesia, we had lots of asbestos. And when I was a kid, most of our roofs were made of asbestos material. And you know, asbestos is totally fire resistant. It's brilliant in its fire resistance, etc. And you can make lots and lots of things out of asbestos. It's very easy to create all kinds of things out of asbestos. And we used asbestos flat out in Rhodesia. And now it's like this terrible thing. You mustn't touch it, you know. But you know, the only people I think who really actually suffered from asbestos were maybe some people in the mines. But I mean, it's like coal mining. I had an uncle who was a coal miner, and the coal dust fucks up your lungs, and he died at a younger age. But you know, that doesn't mean that you take coal away from everybody. And the same is true for asbestos. We all had asbestos around us, and nobody ever had a problem, you know, except maybe for a couple of people who worked in
the mines.
They
made that a huge deal here and all kinds of lawsuits, but that was decades ago. That was absolutely big. So asbestos is just seen as horrible poison by people nowadays.
But it isn't.
And they force lawsuits on buildings to like take it out, and huge contracts to remove it and all that kind of garbage. Yeah. Well, that's a real old thing here. It was a big, big deal decades ago.
Alex, as far as I'm concerned, I must tell you, there are other things I would have liked to mention on this show about Africa. There is something I would have loved to tell you and the audience about the country of Botswana, but it is not wise to talk about it on our show. I'll tell it to you off the show. But if there, you know, Alex, it's like we're saying, if whites are given the slightest chance, whites totally rock. There's nothing wrong in Africa. The only thing that's wrong is certain species, let's call it. And other than that, there are no problems. No problems.
Well, I support whites going there and expanding their presence. We can develop it more and better than any other race. So let's do it. Anyway, Jan, we should be getting drawn to a close here. Anything else prominent? I can say we'll record another Team White in a couple of weeks, when we'll finally have this Trump thing settled. I've said that like two or three times, but almost surely by the next one, it will be settled as the court's rejected, and then we'll see how Trump responds to it, or the court approves it, and it goes from there. But that's from the U.S. So Alex, anything left on your point?
Alex, I've got no further news. I think that's pretty much it. We've touched on many things in the show. So thank you very much for running the show.
Yeah, thanks everybody thanks people for listening. You can spread the link, and we'll be back with you again for another Team White podcast real soon.
These are Alex Linder's websites, www.alexlinder.com, pieville.net. That's his Twitter type of website, www.vnnforum.com. You'll find a ton of information on there. And then his news website, which is www.kirksvilletoday.com. These are my websites: historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.